Be'ezah Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Shishi, the sixth chapter in the Rambam Hilchos Bikurim, the laws of the first fruits and the Seifas Ram. We continue in the theme of the related to Bikurim, that of Challah, which is also called Truma, which we discussed in the previous Perek. In this Perek, the Rambam discusses what is obligated in Challah. As the Rambam begins Halacha Aleph regarding the ingredients that go into that of Challah. Halacha Aleph, Halakechem Nanachtim, if someone purchases from a baker, which some explain they were talking about, the baker has to separate challah when it's made in the state of purity. And here we're talking about when it's made in the state of impurity. Be that as it may, if someone purchases from the baker, chai b'challah, he has to separate challah. Now, however, umafresh menacham ala tzenenis, he could separate from the hot bread on the cold bread, and tzenenis ala chamo, from the cold bread on the hot bread, afel mitfus mharbe, even from many different molds. And the reason for this is that you could do from the new on the old is because it's not common that the baker will bake from old wheat, and rather it's old new, and therefore there's no concern in conscience by meiser. We have such a concern even when it's from the same form, so therefore we're concerned. But over here, b'challah, where it's you only buy from a baker generally, so there's no concern, where he's only using the new wheat, so there you could go ahead and the halacha of this truma of challah is okay. You could separate from one type on the other type. Halacha base. In chayav b'challah, the obligation of challah is el chamisha min etvu b'vad. It's only on the five types of grains. V'hem and they are achitim wheat, v'hasa'irim barley, v'kusmin and spelt, v'shibay l'shul, and that of oats, v'ashifan, and rye. Shem like it says in the pasuk memin, but v'acholchem melechem aretz, when you're going to eat from the bread of the land, which we compare this lechem to that which it says by Pesach, which there has to be something that could ferment and become chametz, which that is what you have to use for matzah. So to hear lechem that says b'challah, also something has to be able to ferment. And the inkar lechem il pasa nas me'elu. And lechem is only bread which is made from the five types of grains. Because avol oisa pas oisa dechem. Someone makes rice or millet bread, kayetzbem in the kidneys, or types of legumes, beans that you make bread out of, in chayv b'challah klal, that has no obligation of challah at all. Halacha Gimel Ram discusses regarding what's with the ownership of the dough as it relates to the chiyuv of challah. So haleket, vashikcha, vahapeya, these are the matnas aniyim, those of those stalks that were found, or the bundles, or that of the corners of the field, or vahefker, that which is declared ownless, or tvuah shalehi vishlish, or grain that has not yet matured a third of its growth yet. So ava pishem b'truma na truma, although these cases are all exempt from truma, because it's only truma is only that which only you have rights to, and that not which everyone has rights to. And additionally, truma that wasn't a third yet, didn't yet reach the oinus ha-maisfis to have the obligation of the truma. So although they're exempt from truma, chayav nalei mechala, there is an obligation of mechala, though chala is also called truma. And the reason for this is because at the time when it's actually kneaded into dough, then there wasn't hefka anymore, because now the person who's using it is taking for himself. And that's the criterion at that point in time. And grain that wasn't a third, it could ferment, and therefore it's going to be chayav mechala, in contrast to that of truma. Now, so let's say the first tithe, which the Levi had taken when it was still in stalks, where its trumas meiser was taken from it, although there's a portion of truma gedayla in here, which the Levi is exempt from separating, or let's say you have the second tithe, or the hektish that was redeemed, or the excess of the omer, the barley offering brought on Pesach, or shteh alechem, and the two breads that brought on Shavuos, and lechem upon, or the show breads that brought every single Shabbos, which we're talking about that it became tameh before it was sanctified in the service vessel, where therefore it could be redeemed, because it didn't have a physical sanctity take effect on it, and then you could buy other ones, and therefore we're calling it the meiser, the leftover, the shteh alechem, and lechem upon them. Where kashipodu kolos namasaris, when you redeem all those excess, hakol chayav mechal, all the cases we described are going to be obligated in challah. And the reason that is because when you're kneading the dough, when you what's called gilgal, which you're turning it around into bowl, that's the time when it becomes obligated in challah. At that point in time, in all these cases we described, the dough was kulin. Now, in contrast by maestros, they would be exempt because at the time of the meruach, which is smoothing out the pile, then the grain, like in these cases, were considered hektish, and therefore then one would be exempt. But in these cases, for challah, which again, because it's the time is when you're making it into the dough, it's going to be chayav mechala. Halacha dalet, isa shel maaser sheni b'Yerushalayim, regarding a dough of the second tithe in Yerushalayim, or the isa shvi, it's a dough from Shemitah year, it was to make meduma, or when you have a doubt if it was mixed with truma, chayav mechala, all these cases are going to be obligated in challah. Aval hameduma, but regarding if, let's say, you have a sub truma that falls into less than 100 of chulin, which they all become a forbidden mixture, and even though this dimur is only rabbinic, it's still going to be enough to exclude from the obligation of challah, because challah is man says also on the rabbinic. So patim and challah, in this case, there's going to be exemption from challah. The reason that is because it's terima truma. You should take off truma, but not something that already had the truma taken off already. And therefore, here where it's mixed with the truma, so therefore, it's not going to have the obligation of challah. Halacha hey, challah is toider rekiki nazir. So if someone makes the loaves of bread that a Thanksgiving offering has to have, or kiki nazir, when a nazir, he also has to bring certain types of breads. So it depends if there's obligation of challah. If a son la'atzmai, if he made it for himself to bring as his karbanis of as a nazir or a taida, so patur min ha'challah, then it's exempt from challah, nishen kaidish, because it's from a karban, which does not have the obligation of challah. Now, but let's say he made lamachim bashuk. Let's say he lives in Yerushalayim. He's going to sell in the marketplace. Nazirim, for whoever's a nazir, makrivitayd, or those who bring the Thanksgiving offerings, chayam mechala, that person is obligated to bring challah. The reason for that is, levisha b'dayta, because his intention is, im loy temachim, it's not going to be sold, yechlen, he'll eat it. And therefore, it will be like regular bread, which you have a chiv of challah. So therefore now, also, even though his intention is he's going to attempt to sell it for the nazir and the taydah, he has to separate challah. Halachavav, isis hashutfin. Regarding a dough of partners, let's say someone makes his dough for the public, in other words, he's giving everyone permission to eat from his dough, but it's not being mafkered. Chayevas b'chal is also obligated chal, because again, it's not like when you mafker the dough and then it's you need it for hefker, which is exempt from chal, because he's not being mafkered. So although there's partners and although he's doing it for the public, it's still going to be chayev and chal. Lachazan Ram continues regarding the order of the separations of truma and chal. So isa min ha-tevel, if someone makes dough from untithed produce, so bein shekhtim chala truma, whether he separates chala before he gives the truma, or bein shekhtim truma l'chala, whether he separates the truma before the chala, masha asa, what he's done is done. In other words, although really he's supposed to separate truma first, because that's the first obligation, which is when it's before it's into dough, which dough is only when you need it, but still, whatever he separates is going to be valid. Now, v'm hefesh achala tchil, if he separated the chala first, like t'achal, you still can't eat it, ashe yetzla truma smaisa, until you separate also the truma and truma smaisa. And v'm hefesh tchil truma, and if he separate the truma first, also loy te'achal achay tzala achal, you can't eat it either until you separate the chal. Halach Ches Ram discusses what happens if someone's making the dough for an animal or for a Gentile. So isa isa lahachal apashal lebehema lachay, if someone's making the dough to feed that bread to an animal or to a wild animal, and that's important because Arisa Seichem says your dough is only for you, your consumption, but not for that of an animal, so in patur, it's going to be exempt from the chiv chal. Now isa is a klavim, the dough of dogs, at a time when the shepherds will eat from it, on the other hand, the dough of a Gentile is going to be exempt, because it says, your dough, not from that of a Gentile. If you have a Jew and the Gentile that are partners in the dough, so if it was in the portion of the Jew, a measurement of dough, that it itself would be obligated, then the whole dough, even that portion that's from the Gentile, since the Jew has a portion of the whole dough, that dough will be obligated chal. Halacha yod, goyish shefresh chal, if a Gentile separates chal. Afil b'Eretz Yisrael, even Eretz Yisrael, which has the primary obligation, in the chal, it's not going to be chal. As we said, Arisa Seichem excludes that of a Gentile. El medina is the shein etzach, rather we notify him that it doesn't need, and that people should know this, and b'teach al-azar, and then it could be eaten by non-kain. It's not considered as chal, which is forbidden to azar. Now, v'lom alechashash no asid ram, why are we not concerned for this? That Shem Isa Shal Yisraeli, maybe this is really the dough of a Jew. But Tolo Isa Biyad Goy, and he's just saying that it's that of a Gentile. So to exempt it, in other words, this Jew doesn't really know the halachas of Chala. He thinks that the dough will be exempt in such a situation. When the truth is, it's not exempt, because just like the dough of a Gentile is exempt even when the Jew needs it, so because it's the Gentile's dough, so to the dough of a Jew is obligated even if the Gentile is needing it. But he's not going to know that, so why are we not concerned for that? And he's just going to let the Gentile do it, but really it's that of a Jew, and maybe we should be concerned for that. Says Ram, no, we don't have to be concerned for that, because if the Jew really wanted to, Yifter Atzmoy, he has another way of exempting himself without saying and giving it to the Gentile as if it's his. He can make his dough less than the measurement of challah at a time, which is another way of getting out of the obligation. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned that when the Gentile's making it, it's as if it's really a Jew's, and he's just thinks that he'll get away with it by giving the Gentile, and therefore, again, the Gentile does it, it's not going to be challah. Halacha Rav Dami continues regarding what happens if a dough is actually a combination of things that are obligated and things that are exempt. So, hama'ariv kemach chitin, if someone mixes wheat flour, the kemach iris, and rice flour, vasman misa, and he makes a dough out of it. So im yesh b'tam dog, if there's at least a taste of wheat grain, chayves b'chal, it's going to be obligated in chal. V'mla, but if not, it's going to be exempt. And afilo hoya hasar chitim, even if the wheat was just the yeast, and it's put l'toich isas e'oires into the rice dough, im yesh b'tam dog, and again, if it has at least the taste of the grain, chayves b'chal, it's going to be obligated in chal, because when there's taste, it's not bottle, and therefore has that obligation. But if not, patur, it's going to be exempt. Halachat Beis Rambam qualifies that this dough has to be baked in the oven. Isa shenilecha, if you have a dough that was kneaded b'yayin with wine, or shemen, or oil, or dvash, or honey, or mayim reischem, or hot water, or shenosel techet tvalim, or you put spice inside of it, or hirtiach hamayim, well, let's say you boiled up the water, v'hishlech hakemach l'toyche b'losha, and you threw the flour inside of it, and you kneaded it. So, imafah, if it was baked, b'matan, b'makarka, whether in the oven or on the ground, ben al machvas v'amacheshes, whether in a deep pan or a shallow pan, ben shidbek es abatzik b'machvas v'amacheshes v'achek acher tichin be'ish mal matach nevapas, whether you attach the dough into the shallow or to the deep pan and then you boil up the fire beneath it until the bread baked, or ben shir ticha v'achek chidbek abatzik, whether you first boiled it up and then you attach the dough, doesn't make a difference. Kolelu chayov mechal, all these cases we describe are going to be obligated in chal because ultimately you baked it. But let's say you made the dough that it should just dry in the sun, or to cook it in a pot, but not to bake it. That's going to be exempt from challah. Because when it's just heated up from the sun, that's not considered bread. Whether it was needed with water, whether it was needed with other liquids. And so to roast the grain, that you need it with water, or with honey, and eat it without being baked. In other words, and that was the intention when you needed it, that you're not going to bake it into bread. But it's going to be exempt. She'ein chayev esel isa, because the obligation is only by dough, she'soyfi le'ofis lechem l'maychel odin, that your intention when you're making, when you're kneading it, was that you're going to bake it as bread for human consumption. Halachit gimel isa she'losho t'chilo lasas maysa chama. Let's say you have a dough that was initially kneaded with the intention of making it, that you're just going to heat it up in the sun, which, again, then it would be exempt from chal. Now, v'shlim al asayis pas, but when they finished it off, they made it to make it bread. Oh, you go the other way around, shehischa b'alefes pas, they initially started making it to bake it as bread, v'shlim al asayis ma'asacham, and they finished it off by just heating it up in the sun. Or v'chen kali, or so to roast a grain, shalashay, where it was originally kneaded, lefayse pas, to bake it as bread, even though at the end it wasn't baked as bread. In all these cases, chayav and b'chal, it's going to be obligated in chal, because ultimately, when it was kneaded, he had in mind to make it as bread, so that's like a dough which is started to make it into dough, and then you make it into like a wafer, which it's going to be chayiv, and therefore these cases are all going to have an obligation of chal. Let's say you have bread that was made for this Babylonian dip called kutach, which was a mixture of the whey, which is the leftover water from the milk after you make butter out of it with the crumbs of bread. And they bake this bread with the intention of crushing it to make it into the kutach dip. So, maseh mechichin alav. The actions of how you bake this bread will decide its qualification. And that is, asa ka'achin, let's say the bread was made into these thin cakes. So, chayev es b'chal, it's going to be obligated b'chal, because obviously Rebbe revealed an intention that he wants it to be as bread, not as kutach. But asa kilimudim, let's say he made it like these strips of dough attached one with the other. So he's showing that he wants to detach them and then to just crush them up because he's not making it into any specific cake. Patur min chal, it's going to be exempt from chal because again, that's not considered lechem. It wasn't made to be used as bread. Halacha Zav, the Rambam continues regarding the measurement of dough that would obligate a person for the hafrash of chal. So kama shir isa shachib is b'chal, how much is the measurement of dough that obligates a person in the hafrash of chal to give to the kohen? So it's maloi ha'imer kemach, an imer full of flour. Because the pasuk says in Bamidbar, "Rishus arisa sechem chal terim." The first of arisa sechem, your dough, you should separate as chala. Which what's your dough? Which is that they had in the midbar, which was a oimer legagoylus, and the oimer is a tenth of an eifim. It's that amount of flour. Bein meechad mechamisha minim, whether it's just taking one out of the five species of grain, bein mechamish tam, or whether from all five, kulam mitzdar from lashir, they're all going to combine for the measurement when you knead them together. Now, but kamo shir oimer, it says Rama, how much is this measurement of the oimer? It's shnei kav and pachas chaymish. It's 1 4/5 of a kav, or as Rama calls it, 2 kav minus 1/5. Now, vahakav, how much is a kav? That's arba leg and 4 legin. Vahaloig is arba revias, is 4 quarters of a leg. Verevias, in the quarter of a leg, is etzpa'ayim al etzpa'ayim, it's two finger breadth squared, b'roim with a height of etzpa'ayim, b'chatzbi etzpa, b'chaymish etzpa. So it has a height of two finger breadths with a half of an etzpa, with a fifth of an etzpa. Now, b'chol etzba'is, and all the finger breadths that we're talking about, him reichem goydel shal yad, we're talking about the width of the thumb of a hand. So, nimtzei salomad. So, and that's, again, this we just measured that of revius, but we're talking about revius, which is a court, which is subsumed in the leg, which is subsumed in the kav. And we're telling you it's 1 4/5 of a kav. So, nimtzei salomad, it comes out, you learn as follows. Shamida sheyesh ba, the measurement that has in it, eser etzba'is, al eser etzba'is, 10 finger breadths square, b'roim, with a height of shalosh etzba'is u'teshia etzba, b'kerub, with a height of 3 finger breadth, and approximately that of a ninth of a finger breadth. Hu aimer, that's the measurement of an aimer. And v'chein sotu mida, a measurement, sheyesh ba sheva etzba'is, you could, if you want a cubit, you could do it that sheyesh ba sheva etzba'is pachos shnei teshia etzba, you have 7 finger breadths, minus 2/9 of a finger, which is really, again, it's 6 and 7/9, because it's and al sheva etzba'is pachos shnei teshia etzba, it's length and the width of the 7 finger breadths minus 2/9 of a finger breadth, which again is 6 and 7/9. B'roim, with the same height, because it's cubed, sheva etzba'is pachos shnei teshia etzba, so instead of making the measurements we said before, if you want a cubit, which all the same measurements, he made this aimer, that's the measurement, and therefore, because those two measurements that we described are essentially the same amount. Now, but kama mekilim midazu, and how much volume does this measurement take up? It's kamar bam b'sholish beitzim beinonius v'chemish be'ya. It's around 43 1/5 of an egg, I mean 43 eggs, 43 medium-sized eggs, and 1/5 of an egg. The haim, and regarding mishkal, regarding weight, that is shisha u'shmoinim sloim. You have 83 sloim u'shnei shlishei sela and 2/3 of a sela. If you have mikemech achidim shem mitzrayim from the wheat flour that you have in Egypt, shehaim, that is mishkal, it's equivalent of another weight. Chamesh meis ve'esim zuz, 520 zuz. If you're using mezuzah mitzrayim b'zman hazeh, which in the Rambam in Egypt from the Egyptian zuzim in today's times, umida shemechil kamishkal hazeh. And the measurement that contains this weight of wheat flour, that's how they measure for the obligation of challah, wherever people may be. That would be the amount of dough that has an obligation of separation of challah. Now it's forbidden for a person to make his dough less and less than the measurement, if his intention is to exempt himself from the obligation of separating challah. In other words, he has a measurement of challah, but he just wants to exempt himself. So he makes less and less at a time to be exempt. Now, obviously, if he only wants to make less, that's no problem. But saying he wants to make a large quantity, but he keeps on making less and less. Now, v'hamafresh chala mi'isa, she p'chusa mekasher. Now, if someone separates chala from dough which is less than the measurement, he hasn't done anything, meaning if he subsequently adds on and combines with the shir chala, he's not going to be exempt from the first thing that he separated, he'll have to make a new separation. And v'arei chulun kishayis, it remains chulun as it originally was. Now, the Rambam continues regarding combining doughs and breads. Let's say someone made a dough that was less than the measurement, which we mentioned before, and he bakes it. But now he puts the bread into a basket. Then he bakes another bread, and he puts it into the same basket. If it combines now, if you're gathering the basket, now the amount that would have the measurement of challah, so the basket combines with the share of challah, and I have to separate the challah from the bread which was baked. Shem, because it says in the pasuk, you're going to eat from the bread of the land, which says lechem over there, and it talks about the chiv of challah. That comes to teach that you could separate challah even from that which is baked. Now, however, the inad tanim itself on the challah, but the oven does not combine them with the shir of challah, because in the oven it's not yet called lechem, and it already is excluded from arisa sechem from your dough, and therefore it's like somewhere in the middle, which is not going to have either one. It's not going to combine them, even though they're both in the oven at the same time. If let's say the loaves, which neither one of them have the shir of challah, were noishchizubzu, they were what's called biting one into the other. They were like sticking to each other when they were still dough. Now the combination of them all has the measurement of challah. So then chayav machallah, they're going to be obligated in challah, meaning when you don't have in the dough a shir of challah, So it never came to the halacha of being obligated at all. So you can't say it was exempt when you made it. So therefore, actually, when it ultimately bites into another dough, even after it was rolled as a dough, now it would be chayiv and chalak, because it would never be exempted to say you can't be mechayiv anymore. It just didn't have the shear. And this will be aval pisha in basal. In contrast to the other one, that was just bread in the same basket, here, since they're stuck to each other, even though it's not in the basket, it also will combine. Now, afa matnat, let's say someone baked a little bit at a time. Now he put them all together on a board that doesn't have a receptacle, does not have a concave. So here, hariza safek, that's a situation of doubt, because it's a question, do you need to have a receptacle with a concave? That would be considered as a basket that combines them, or is enough a board. So if it's rabbinic challah, like in today's times, in the chayv lahafish, and one would not be obligated to separate challah, until you have it combined in a vessel that has a receptacle, because since it's safek drabanan, we go lakula, we go linli. Regarding flour which wasn't sifted, rather was kneaded with its bran, whole wheat, since in the total of all the flour, you have the measurement of oimer, which is shir of challah, so chayv kechallah. So it's going to be obligated in the halacha of challah. And the reason for that is because we have paupers that eat this inferior type of dough, which is made with his bran. Now, aval notla musam lakemach, but let's say they took out the bran from the flour, which is actually how often current days whole wheat is made. They actually take it out, then then they actually put the bran back into the dough, thus now making it the shear of having the amount of challah, but only together with the bran. Then this situation, because the bran itself does not have the halacha of separation. It's only when it never was taken out. When you took it out, to put it back in, it's not going to be able to supplement, and one's not going to be chayiv and challah. Look, the Rambam continues regarding what happens if there's a large dough, but the intention is to divide it. So nachtem sha'asa isa. If you have a baker that made a dough, which has the share of challah, but he made it la'soysay se'er. He made it to make it into yeast, meaning not for dough. He doesn't want to bake it. He wants to turn it, that it should ferment and become yeast. L'chalkei, to divide it. In other words, and even each one of those portions of se'er are not going to have a share of challah. Still chayev es b'chalat, it's going to be obligated in challah. Why? Because timacher, as we had this far earlier in the parak, because if he doesn't sell it, yes, in the past, I'll make it into bread. And therefore, it has already a quality of a halachic obligation of challah. Now, avalo isa isa. But if let's say someone who's not a baker is making a dough, l'chalka batzik, to divide the doughs, and here he's doing it to divide it to many people, so peturim, then it's going to be exempt from challah, because I'm not concerned that maybe the person is going to change their mind to make it into one dough, because since they're doing it to divide, one doesn't have its own singular unit of obligation, and therefore it's going to be exempt. Halachachav, nashim shenosnu kemach lanachtim, if you have many women that give their flour to a baker, lasislam sa'ar, to make yeast out of it. If not one of them has the measurement of challah on its own, although all the women's flour together has the measurement, true, it's going to be exempt, because although he's putting it together and fermenting it, but it's like making dough with the intention of dividing it, because he's going to go ahead and then divide amongst the women. And therefore, again, like we said, when you're making the dough, l'chalukah, that will be exempt from the obligation of challah.